520 points and 477 comments on the anonymity story, "The UK's War on Anonymity Has Come to America," makes it the second most discussed item on HN Today. And it lands on the same day that France's ban on unsolicited telemarketing calls takes effect, which gives us a useful contrast for thinking about how different democracies approach the regulation of unwanted contact.
Let me start with the France story because it's genuinely good news and worth celebrating on its own terms. Starting today, August 11th, France prohibits unsolicited commercial telemarketing calls. Not just restricted, prohibited. Callers can face significant fines. The HN community is largely delighted, with many European commenters noting that similar rules in other EU countries have meaningfully improved daily life. A few American commenters are wistful. The regulatory philosophy here is consumer protection through proactive restriction rather than opt-out systems, which is the predominant American approach.
The contrast with the anonymity story is stark and instructive. The France telemarketing ban is a government restricting commercial actors to protect individual privacy. The UK anonymity story runs in the opposite direction. Governments and the lobbying groups they've empowered restricting individual anonymity online, ostensibly for safety reasons, in ways that have significant implications for political speech, whistleblowing, and civil liberties.
The specific story is about a UK-originated policy push, backed by organizations that successfully lobbied the Online Safety Act through Parliament, that is now actively working with American legislators and state governments to introduce similar requirements in the United States. The core policy is some form of age verification or identity verification for online platforms. The framing is child safety. The mechanism, requiring platforms to collect and verify real-world identity, effectively ends pseudonymous participation online for anyone subject to those platforms' policies.
The HN community commentary is extensive and cuts across political lines in interesting ways. Libertarian-leaning commenters focus on the free speech and surveillance dimensions. Security-focused commenters note that any system that collects verified identity data becomes an enormous target for breaches. Privacy advocates point out that the UK's implementation has had documented chilling effects on LGBTQ communities in countries where being out carries social or legal risk, people who rely on pseudonymity for safety.
There's also a technical critique that's worth surfacing. Any age verification or identity verification system that's actually robust is also, by definition, a surveillance system. You cannot build a mechanism that verifies who someone is without also creating a record of that person's online activities that is linkable to their real identity. The infrastructure you'd need to comply with these laws is the infrastructure you'd need to build a comprehensive online ID system. Whether that's the intent or just a side effect of the policy depends on who you believe.
From a geopolitical standpoint, the fact that UK lobbying organizations are directly working on American state legislatures is worth noting. The transatlantic policy influence runs both directions. GDPR-style privacy concepts have influenced California law, but the specific mechanism here, foreign-funded lobby groups pushing legislation in American states, raises questions about disclosure and transparency that the HN community is actively raising.
I'll add one more dimension. The practical experience of online anonymity has already changed dramatically over the past decade. Real name policies on major platforms, algorithmic identification of linked accounts, data broker ecosystems that can de-anonymize behavioral data. The question isn't really anonymous internet versus non-anonymous internet anymore. It's about what the remaining spaces for pseudonymity are, who they protect, and whether we want to explicitly foreclose them through law or let them erode through commercial practice. The UK bill makes that foreclosure explicit. The commercial erosion is more diffuse and harder to oppose.
The RX Kids story also surfaced briefly in the HN comments on adjacent policy threads. It's a program providing unconditional cash to pregnant women and infants in Flint, Michigan. And it connects to a different policy debate about what government interventions in family well-being look like in an American context. Worth a look for anyone interested in domestic policy.